This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sport of Pro Wrestling podcast. I am Chris Samsa, and this is the New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 Climax 30 Night 8 Preview. G1 Climax 30 continues on Thursday from Niigata with the B-Block's fourth card of the tournament. This card is kind of like two civil wars happening at the same time, with two intra-faction matches at the top of the card. Los Ingobernables de Japón leader Tetsuya Naito will battle Sonata in Sonata's hometown in the main event of the evening. The semi-main event will feature Bullet Club's two newest members, Kenta and Evil, battling as they continue to establish their role in the ever-evolving faction. Third down the card, slow starters in this year's tournament, Hiroshi Tanahashi and Yoshihashi, will each look to even their record at 500. The card with the most block points accumulated thus far in the tournament will kick off the tournament matches, with Juice Robinson taking on Toriano for the fourth G1 in a row, followed by Hirooki Goto and Zack Sabre Jr.'s first match since 2018. You can find my complete statistical breakdown for every competitor in the G1 Climax at voicesofwrestling.com. I have interactive, sortable tables for New Japan's 2020, detailed results and statistics for all 1,495 G1 Climax matches to date, as well as a full box score for this year's tournament at sportofprowrestling.com. And you can let me know what you find when you drill down some of that data by dropping me a line on Twitter at TheChrisSamsa. So this event will come to us on October 1st, 2020 from Niigata. The start time is 6:30 JST, so the same as the last two nights. So 4:30 a.m. Chicago time, 5:30 a.m. on the East Coast, and we'll say 3:30 a.m. in Denver, because we haven't thrown out the Denver time here in a little while. You can watch live with Japanese commentary or on demand later with English commentary on NJPW World. And the best way to use NJPW World is with the NJPW EXT browser extension. NJPW EXT is the only browser extension for NJPWWorld.com, with features like synchronized viewing parties, dark mode, improved translations and layouts, custom and shared playlists, and much, much more. It takes NJPW World to the next level. Visit njpwext.us today for details. So let's take a peek at the B block as we come into their fourth card of the tournament. At the top of the block, we have, of course, IWGP Heavyweight and Intercontinental Champion Tetsuya Naito with 6 points at 3-0. And right there with him, kind of a surprise, actually not even kind of a surprise, a super surprise, Toriano at 6 points, also 3-0. On this kind of young tournament. In the middle top, we've got Kenta and Juice Robinson, both with 4 points at 2-1. Middle bottom, we've got five competitors with 2 points. So a lot of guys still in the hunt here. So Hiroshi Tanahashi, Zack Sabre Jr., Evil, Hirooki Goto, and Yoshihashi, all at 2 points. So that's 1-2 on the record. And then at the bottom, we've got Sonata. Sonata winless through his first three matches, 0-3, but coming into his first of, I believe, two main events on the tournament tonight with facing, you know, top of the heap, Tetsuya Naito. Some of the details in the statistics are pretty disparate here. So at the top, we've got Tetsuya Naito and Toriano, like I said, both with 6 points, but they have gotten there in completely different ways. So Tetsuya Naito, average match length of 25.54, longest in the tournament so far, total match length of 1 hour, 17 minutes, and 42 seconds through just the three matches. Toriano, on the other hand, almost an hour less than Tetsuya Naito to get his three wins, 18 minutes total ring time, so 6:01 on the average there. As I peek through the rest of the data, nothing super standout here, nothing too wild, honestly. A couple of the matchups tonight feature some very similar results to date, which we will talk about as we run down the card. So let's get into that. The main event from Niigata will feature the second of two intra-faction Civil War-style matches. This one, between Los Ingobernables de Japón heavyweights, IWGP heavyweight and intercontinental champion Tetsuya Naito versus Sonata. Naito and Sonata entered this match on different ends of the statistical spectrum in almost all categories, and while Naito may be able to be a little tranquilo at this point in the tournament with his 3-0 record, Sonata can hardly afford his fourth loss in a row to begin the tournament. Sonata may find extra motivation as his first of two main events in this year's tournament happens in his hometown, Niigata. Since arriving in NJPW, Sonata is 3-1 in his hometown. He first defeated Toriano in the 2017 G1 Climax, he defeated Kota Ibushi in the 2018 G1 Climax, and he defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi in the New Japan Cup 2019 semifinals, all in this same building. The finals of that tournament were also in Niigata, where Sonata fell to Kazuchika Okada in 33:07, unable to complete his Cinderella story in his hometown. Sonata looks to turn around his 2020 G1 Climax with a win over LIJ leader and IWGP heavyweight and intercontinental champion Tetsuya Naito. Naito looks to continue his success again in main event matches in this tournament. This will be his fourth straight event at the top of the card. He only has one more main event booked for the remainder of the tournament on October 11th in Aichi against Evil. Naito and Sonata enter on different ends of the statistical spectrum. In the simplest metric, wins and losses, Naito 3-0 with those 6 points, while Sonata is 0-3, still sitting on that goose egg. Sonata should enter his match with Naito relatively fresh. Aside from the, we'll say, efficient Toriano, Sonata has the shortest total match length so far in this year's tournament. His 32-34 lands at just 41% of Tetsuya Naito's 1 hour, 17 minutes, and 42 seconds tournament to date. If somehow it holds up, Tetsuya Naito's average match length of 25-54 would be almost 5 minutes longer than Kazuchika Okada's tournament record average of 21-02. Sonata is not really a candidate to help Naito, regardless of this year's tournament results. When Sonata's in the main event, he does tend to go long. As many remember, Sonata has participated in the longest G1 Climax block match to ever go to a finish, his defeat of Kazuchika Okada in 29:47 during last year's tournament. Naito's 1 hour, 17 minutes, and 42 seconds is the longest total match length in the entire tournament so far, so also including the A block. Next closest in the stamina metric is Jay White at 1 hour, 17 minutes, and 30 seconds, but Jay White has already participated in his fourth match. If we take a look down to just 2020 results so far, Tetsuya Naito's 8.75 winning percentage is the best in New Japan in 2020. Toriano and Taiji Ishimori are hot on his heels at 8.57. So Yano and Ishimori at 6-1. Naito 7-1 on the year. His only loss, his IWGP Heavyweight Championship match to Evil at Dominion. Even after his shorter victory over Hiroki Goto on Tuesday night, Naito's average match length for the year is still a grueling 30 minutes and 56 seconds, almost 9.5 minutes longer than Kazuchika Okada's second place results in this metric. Naito and Sonata have faced each other once before. That was in the 2018 G1 Climax in Yokohama. Naito has never lost to another member of Los Ingobernables de Japón in the G1. He defeated Sonata, Shingo Takagi, and Evil all once while they were aligned with the faction, so this will be his first time fighting someone for a second time. So that's the main event tonight. That should be a pretty awesome match. Looking forward to some really heavy competition. Sonata clearly is going to be hungry to get that win, and Naito certainly wants to protect his lead at the top of the block. We can expect these guys to probably have an honorable fight because they are still aligned with each other in the same group, but when it comes to the G1, all bets are off when it comes to, you know, just having a good healthy match. So I'm excited to see what happens here. Second match down the card is Kenta versus Evil. Kenta coming in with 4 points, Evil coming in with 2. The semi-main event will feature the first intra-faction Civil War match of the evening, as Bullet Club's two newest members, Kenta and Evil, will face off in an attempt to establish their placement behind the kind of assumed now leader, Jay White, in the faction. Kenta used the end of last year's G1 Climax to turn on Katsuyori Shibata and make a statement that he was aligned with Nefarious.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club Slab Pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You can display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7 so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy video lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys, reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy video lock. I touch it. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. 1 second, door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Chris Faction Bullet Club. At that point, Kenta had lost 5 straight G1 Climax matches, ending his first G1 at 8 points after a pretty hot start. Well, a really hot start, four wins in a row. Kenta has seemingly righted his ship in regards to G1 performance. He isn't coming out of the gates quite as hot as he did last year, but he's certainly positioned pretty well to do all right in this year's tournament, coming out at 2-1 so far. Evil's fortunes have turned south since losing the IWGP Heavyweight and Intercontinental Championships back to Tetsuya Naito at Summer Struggle in Jingu. At that point, he had rattled off 7 straight victories through the New Japan Cup and his IWGP Heavyweight Championship matches. Since then, he's 1-2, suffering losses already in this tournament to Zack Sabre Jr. and Tori Yano. Evil looks to stay above 500 in his G1 career. He's currently sitting at 20-19. And while Kenta looks to advance past that 500 point, as he is now 6-6 through his first tournament and a half. Well, tournament and a third, if we're being really technical. In 2020, Evil's 8 victories in New Japan are the second most, behind only Kazuchika Okada's 10. Evil's average winning match length of 22.44 is second highest in New Japan, behind only Tetsuya Naito's 29.55. That average is it's definitely drawn up by his 38.01 victory over Tetsuya Naito in their match at Dominion. When it comes to head-to-head, Kenta's victory over Evil last year was their only match. It was also Kenta's last G1 victory before this year's tournament. So after he lost to Evil, after he defeated Evil, he lost 5 in a row. It'll be fascinating to see what Kenta and Evil bring to the table in their match against each other now that they're both aligned with Bullet Club. Evil has continued to use, we'll say, nefarious means to try to drive victory, and Kenta has actually been wrestling pretty clean. So I don't anticipate that will change. Kenta doesn't typically have anyone coming out to the ring with him, whereas Evil still has Dick Togo and any number of you know, pardon the pun, evil plans to drive, you know, his attempts at victory so far in this tournament. So I think, you know, I'm hopeful that we see Kenta continue to wrestle clean and try to establish dominance, as he seems to be on a hotter streak right now over Evil. Third down the card, we'll have Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Yoshihashi. Hiroshi Tanahashi coming in with 2 points, and Yoshihashi also coming in with 2 points. Yoshihashi looks to gain his first career victory over Hiroshi Tanahashi in the third match down the card. Both competitors began their tournaments 0-2 in G1 Climax 30, but they were each able to get on the board at Corrigan Hall just 2 nights ago. Tanahashi and Yoshihashi entered their match statistically very even. Only 14 seconds separate them in total ring time. Their records are the same, and only a minute separates their average winning match length. There is quite the disparity between their longest loss, so Tanahashi's Night 1 loss to Tetsuya Naito was the second longest match of the tournament thus far at 27-16. Yoshihashi's longest match of the tournament thus far landed at 17-21. That was his Night 4 loss to Evil. In regards to G1 Climax history, Regardless of this year's results so far, these two remain on two ends of the G1 Climax results spectrum. Hiroshi Tanahashi's 84 victories are still the most in G1 Climax history. They probably will be for a very long time, while Yoshihashi's 300 winning percentage is the second lowest among modern G1 competitors. Only Tomoaki Honma's 143 is lower. When we take a peek at 2020 singles results so far, it's a little surprising that Hiroshi Tanahashi is the one with the 333 winning percentage at 2-4, while Yoshihashi is 5-4, with his biggest victory to date just happening just the other night with his win over Sonata. Tanahashi and Yoshihashi have met three times in the past, and Tanahashi has been successful in all three. Two of their previous contests have been in G1 tournaments. That was in 2017 and 2018. Their previous matchup was all the way back in 2013 on the road to Tokyo Dome. The second tournament match on the card will be Hirooki Goto versus Zack Sabre Jr. They're both coming into this match with 2 points, so still in the hunt for both these guys. I'm sure they both want to balance their record at 1-2, or at 2-2, instead of going 1-3. Goto and ZSJ have shared pretty similar paths to this point in the tournament. They have each suffered a loss to IWGP heavyweight and intercontinental champion Tetsuya Naito, and they have both fallen to Kenta as well. They each enter their contest with each other with one victory. Goto defeated Sonata, and Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Evil, his win on the first night of B-Block competition. Their records may be the same at 1-2, but Goto has been a much more efficient with his ring time, averaging almost 3 minutes shorter than Sabre to land at the same result. That's something that Tetsuya Naito even called out in his post-match interview just the other night. Goto and ZSJ have the same 1-2 record thus far in this year's G1, and while Hirooki Goto has significantly more G1 experience with well over 100 matches, they both land at exactly the same all-time winning percentage at just over 500. They're both at 533. In 2020, they both have 3 wins. Hirooki Goto has 4 losses. Zack Sabre Jr. has 3. And Goto and Zack Sabre Jr. have faced each other 4 times in the past, twice in the G1. They are 2-2 all-time, with Hirooki Goto winning their first 2 matches, including a NEVER Openweight Championship defense at Sakura Genesis 2017 and a G1 Climax 27 match. As with many competitors, Goto fell to Zack Sabre Jr. in 2018 in both a G1 Climax match and on Zack's home turf at the Rev Pro New Japan Global Wars. So these two are poised to position themselves for a push to land themselves closer to the top of the block here. If they can even themselves out at 500, you can imagine that they will both be fighting hard to not fall further into that hole. And believe it or not, the match on the card with the most combined block points accumulated will be the first tournament match of the evening, a meeting between two quick starters in this year's G1, Juice Robinson, and perennial 8-point finisher, Toriano. Juice Robinson enters this match with 4 points. Toriano enters with a perfect 3-0 record, so with 6. So that's a total of 10, which is the most on the card. So strange that the card with the most successful... strange that the match with the most successful competitors is happening first, but the cards are made early. We never really know how things are going to land. There's not a ton to read into with this year's data points. Juice Robinson's total match length of 47-14 is nearly 3 times the 18-04 it has taken Toriano to go undefeated through 3 matches. You can't say Toriano doesn't value his own time. He clearly does. He doesn't need a ton of time to figure out what's going to happen when he gets in the ring with literally any competitor under the sun. So, with G1 Climax history, though, over the last 10 G1 Climax tournaments, Toriano has averaged 8 points, never finishing with less than 6, so that's where he's at right now, but never finishing with more than 10. He is, of course, on pace for 18 in this year's tournament if he continues down the path he's on. Juice Robinson has averaged a record under 500 in his first 3 tournaments, landing with an average of just over 7 points. In 2020, Toriano's 857 winning percentage is second best in New Japan, behind only Tetsuya Naito's 875. Juice Robinson and Toriano have faced each other three times, each in the last three G1 Climax tournaments, so every G1 that Juice Robinson has participated in. Juice has won all three of those matches, with only one match passing the 4.5 minute mark. That was their 2018 match at 8 minutes and 28 seconds. So that's all I've got for you today. Kind of a quick preview, but we've gone through all five of the G1 B block matches on the October 1st card from Niigata. After this card, the tournament takes 3 days off and will return on Monday, October 5th from Kagawa, with a main event of Kota Ibushi versus Will Ospreay, and another chapter in the story between Kazuchika Okada and Minoru Suzuki. I'll be back sometime, likely with a little bit more lead time before that event, with my preview for that. This is my chance, everyone. This is my chance to get ahead of this tournament, as starting Monday, we've got 6 events in 7 days. Of course, you can find this preview in written form at sportofprowrestling.com or voicesofwrestling.com, and you can give me a follow on Twitter at TheChrisSamsa to interact with me during the G1. I appreciate you giving me a listen, and I will see you next time on the Sport of Pro Wrestling podcast.